Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sokala Duma Radio. My name is Nkululeko Nkeu. In this week's episode, we speak to Bidvest Wits coach Gavin Hunt about his battle with Pitso Mosimane for the title, releasing players for the Under 20 World Cup, and his feelings on missing out on the Bafana job.
Sokala Duma Radio.
We have Coach Gavin Hunt in the house. He's currently top of the log. I'm very excited to speak to the man himself. Coach, how's it going?
Yeah, okay, my man. Not too bad. Not too bad. Nearly finished. 3 games left. So, been a tough, tough season because of all the games. We nearly played 2-3 days, especially since January. So, it's really been tough, you know. But we're looking forward to finish it off.
Yeah, you were talking about needing a beer or two yesterday when you won against Maritzburg United. Have you finally got that beer?
Yeah, after yesterday watching that performance, well, it was a real leg-weary performance. But, I mean, the good thing is we hung in there and we dug in and, you know, we got the goal that counted. And, you know, against a good Maritzburg side, we've certainly improved tremendously. You know, so it was a good result. Because now, it's, you know, it's about getting over the line, that's, you know, and trying to get results. It wasn't by hook or by crook, you know. But certainly we didn't play the brand of football that we can play. And You know, who worries? We're going to just move on to the next one.
And keeping up with what you mentioned at the beginning, that you've played a lot of games. It's been 3 games in the past 7 days, but it's been 9 points as well, a maximum points.
Yeah, that's been a good thing. Look, we had 3 home games, so we haven't had to move. We've moved around a lot before that, you know. So we had 3 home games. And I don't have to tell you, you know, any team at home always wants to take advantage of your home ground advantage. So, you know, when I looked at the fixtures before we played the week, I thought, well, going to be really tough, but we can't worry about the third one, just worry about the first one, and then we'll move on from there. So that's what we did, and, you know, catch the team up, you know, today and or like yesterday and just play a game.
All right, let's get into the crux of it then, because, I mean, something miraculous is happening here, and South Africans need to know and understand the situation. Your team has less spending power compared to Chiefs, Pirates and Sundowns. You not shy as well in terms of selling to a direct competitor, because you've sold Vilakazi directly to Sundowns, who you were second place to last season. And you also had a lot of injuries. You've lost Keane, you've lost Mahlambi at some point this season, you've lost Mlambo as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's. I mean, if you look at that team that played yesterday, I mean, that whole team was for free. So, you know, we obviously work in a free market and, you know, like you rightly said, we don't, you know, we don't spend certainly like a couple of competitors of ours. But I mean, we feel it's right to do it the way we do it. We want to produce more young players. You know, we've got quite a few young from our development. You know, Shinkasi's come through, Reefos, the Pagamani's, you know, these type of players, Ben. You know, so that's what we've done. And we always believe in that. And that's been the, that was the mission that we set out. And when I first came to the club, and I did the same at Supersports, you know, when I left there, there were so many, you know, the Rasmuses and Williams and whatever, you know. So we try and do that. We try and box clever in the market and try and do the best we can. Selling to our competitors, which is, you always, you know, you're going to end up selling your best players. But I mean, if they pay record prices, I mean, you've got to do it. I mean, I don't think it's worth your while not to do it. So, to be fair, we already won the league before the league started. You know what I'm saying? So, but then, obviously, you take in, to be fair, 2 players from them that they didn't really want, Magele and Malagila. So those are all rejects of theirs. So, you know, and I can hopefully turn them around, which they've done well for us, and we go from there, you know?
Yes, but, you know, the thing is, the reason why I use words like miraculous is that you and you've just mentioned it now, that it's players that are free, predominantly. You've virtually for free, you've got Santi, was playing for AmaZulu, was relegated with AmaZulu.
Gala Klanti, I mean, he wasn't even playing at AmaZulu. We were mid-table, below mid-table team, and we took him and sitting in the stands. You know, turned him 4 games later, he's in the national team. So, from first division, sitting in the stands, to 4 games later in the national team. It's work on the training ground. It's, you know, getting him doing the right things and playing properly as a left fullback, you know. Pretty much that's all I've done. He's got the attributes. So it's just a matter of tuning him a little bit, you know.
But what do you do? How much is your involvement in this? Do you profile these players? Do you look at a player? Because it appears that you're not too bothered about names. You take players, and like Ben Mutwari, Pelele Njangase, it's a lot of these players that don't have names and you turn them into stars. Do you profile them before? Do you look at them when they're playing? What more do you do to ensure that you get the best out of them?
Well, in every player, doesn't matter who you are, anywhere around the world, I look at the, if you want, it's hard to explain. If you talk about hardware and software, which I'd always talk about. So you talk about the hardware being their technical skills and talk about their software, their mental ability.
Yes.
You know, their mental strength and their mental attitudes. Now, I'd always, if you mark it out of 10, one, you know, not, you know, being hopeless, 10 being mega. If you get a 10 hardware and you get a 10 software player, well, get out of the way, is Messi or Ronaldo, and get out of their way and make them play. But if I get a player that's got a great mentality and a great software, might not have the best ability. Those are the players who'll go for you, you know, forever. Players that have got great ability and terrible mental ability, those players will drain you, they will kill you, they will kill your team. So what you got to do is get rid of them, you know, or I wouldn't say get rid of them, don't even touch them. You know, I mean, there's players around in the market, people say, and I always read the bloggers' columns about certainly the big three clubs about how they should be signing this player and that player. But they've got, the players have got ability, but have they got the right mental attitude to go 3 games in a week? You know, most players in South Africa can only play 1 game a week, let alone playing 3 games a week, you know, so... So yeah, I look for that, but look, you need ability. They need to have good technical skills in the position that they play, you know, for whatever's required. So it's always difficult because you can't buy who I want to buy. I mean, there's teams that can say, well, we want him, they buy them and they make a team. I have to, you know, we take players and like you said, we take players who are nowhere near and players who play with lesser clubs or younger players. And I mean, you take, for example, we lost Nazir Ali. 6, but maybe 8 games ago, broke his foot. I mean, he was our best player of the year, for no doubt about it. He was one player of the year. I stuck the youngster in Reece Fosler, and believe you me, I don't think Nazir Ali is going to get back in the team.
Yeah, and it's incredible. It's incredible what Reece Fosler has been able to do.
So basically, you take a young player, and I've got him on a training ground after training, work him a little bit, show him what you know, what needs the position, how, you know, what he needs to do a little bit more of or better of, and keep him doing A, B, and C, not the D, E, and F. Just do A, B, and C. You know, and I always say the hardest thing in football is to play simple. And if a player plays simple and he plays A, B, C, you'll become a better player and we'll become a better team. So those are the type of things I look at. And, you know, people look for all these things. You know, I look at Cape Town City. They're playing A, B, C. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no frills and you know what you're going to get. And that's what they've done very, very well. A newly formed team, and you've got to give them credit, you know. Where you look at other teams, you know, there's a lot of complicated football involved.
And it's important that you bring this up as well. People overcomplicating football, whereas they could just simplify it. You pass, you cross, you head, you score, you defend when you're supposed to defend. There's something about your team.
If anybody believes football is different, they live in a cuckoo land. They live in dreamland. And people outside of the game live in dreamland because, you know, people see Barcelona or Real Madrid every week and you think, oh, well, that's how football should be played. Well, if you're spending hundreds and hundreds and millions of euros on players, well, you should expect a little bit of that. But when you're spending nothing and when you're spending nothing on a player and you're getting him for free and or, you know, a little bit of money here and there, then, you know, you're not going to get Real Madrid and Barcelona. We're going to get what we get. So go back to basics. Play simple. Keep it simple. And the only time we as a team or I think football is when people complicate the thing and keep it simple. You know? And the hardest thing in football is to play simple. Because a player will see a ball, the player will be on the ball and he'll see a pass, which is a simple, simple pass, but he won't play because he wants to do the difficult thing. And then that's where complications come in, you know.
Coach, I want to. There certainly is a way, though, to how your team plays. I'm not pigeonholing your team's style of play, but there is a way in keeping up with the simplicity. Is that if you look at Ben Mutswara's goal from the right, it's crossed. He heads the ball. You win against Sundowns 1-0. Again, Malajila's goal came from a cross. It's that simple. You're not overly complicating things. Wings, foot crosses in. Your strikers head them in, and they score.
Well, I watch Real Madrid play. They cross almost close to the head. I mean, so what's the difference? Do you understand? People, you know, I mean, we've been mentioned as Stoke City. I mean, you call Stoke City. I love that. So, I mean, well, Stoke City, well, it might be like Stoke City. I don't actually, you know, believe you me, we played some good football, honestly. exciting to watch. And there's times when you have to dig in, times you have to play a little bit lower risk, and there's times when you can play higher risk, and all those types of things.
All right.
But if you look at the last, the best team in the world the last 10 years has been Barcelona. Mm-hmm. How do they play? They knock 5, you know, 10. They play more balls than most teams, diagonal long balls, you know, from fullback to whatever. So people get clouded by all this football. Sundowns. How do Sundowns play? You know, they've been the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. They play a big long ball all game, all day, every game. Mm-hmm. One big long ball to Bilbet, off he goes. One big long ball from Kakana, off he goes. One big long ball. So people get clouded by this whole myth, you know, I mean, how the game is played.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to something that is remarkable about your season and your decision-making as well. You seemingly aren't scared to make those big calls. Sometimes you'll make a decision that you'll play Rogers instead of Malajela, Malajela instead of Mango, Mango instead of Malajela, and so on. And that also plays itself with Keith and the legendary Monib Josephs. How easy is it for you as a coach to make those big decisions? I mean, you make those bold decisions, but you make them right as well.
Well, I make it taking nothing away from those three boys. They've given us excellent service, the guys you mentioned. Mm. But prolifically, I think between the three of them, they've scored maybe 5 goals. So you know, I mean, sometimes there's got to be a little bit of rotation. Sometimes we want to play a little bit more pressing type of game. The one is better at pressing. The one is better at holding. The one is better at running the channels. The one is better. They've all got different attributes. But to be fair, if you look at our team, we haven't had enough goals from our number 9 position. And that's the problem. I mean, I think we're the second goals, the top goal scorer or the top goal scorers in the league. But our number 9 is between 3 number 9s, we've probably scored 5 goals. Mm. You know? Mm. So, you know, Mango's not really a 9. He's more, you know, plays in between lines and all that over the shit. So he's got 9. But if you take an out and out Rogers, Keane, Alagina, I think between, you know, they haven't scored many goals. So they've all got different attributes. So for me, it's about using the right one in the right game and when the situation arises. That's pretty much what it is.
And the rotation between Monib and Darren Keith as well. I mean, how do you manage that? What do you say to them?
The bottom line is, Monib was number 1 at the beginning of the season.
Yes.
He threw a handbag at the boy from Cape Town City, and I mean, he took a dive. He should have got a 9 out of 10, you know, for the dive he took. So he got sent off. Darren came in and did well. And when Malib was obviously out of suspension after the 2 games, I didn't see any reason to change. We went on and won the top 8 cup. I didn't see any reason to change. And Darren's a very, very good goalkeeper. Darren's got different attributes to Malib, you know. Manib is, I mean, over the course of years in this league, has been fantastic. You know, he's a great reflex goalkeeper and a great, you know, great motivation. But Darren's got, he's been in Europe, you can see good at the crosses, comes out well. So he's got different attributes, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So Darren came in, left him in, and then Manib, I said to Manib straight away, I said, my friend, you know, you're stupid what you did, but just come on, you know, it's about waiting. And he hung in there, and we turned the corner a little bit, and Darren waned a little bit. Even when Darren made some huge mistakes, I didn't drop him. Mm. You know, I'm pretty loyal to a player to a certain point. You know, and then, you know, Artie went and Manif's come in the last 4 games and kept 4 clean sheets.
And four, it's been 4 clean sheets as well. I mean, it's 1-0, 1-0, 2-0.
Yeah, it's not up to him, but it's you know, he's been a big part of that. And,
yes.
And he gives you a different feeling in the team, Manif, you know. I mean, he's not worrying. You know what I mean?
So, but I think, coach, you downplaying your ability to deal with these individuals. I mean, Bongani Khumalo as well. He comes from overseas. You look at him and you assess his abilities and you're like, well, I'm going to play Mkhwanazi and I'm going to play Tyson as well in the middle. Until something happens to them, I'm going to put you in. I mean, what does a coach do in those situations? What if he looks at you in the eye and he's like, I'm coming from Europe and I want to play?
Yeah. I'm a little bit old school. I tell him straight. Old school, I tell them straight to their face, this is the situation. If you don't like it, well, you can go. But I don't say you can go. But what I'm saying is, this is the situation. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, some players buy in, some players don't buy in. And then obviously, you know, we go from there. But I'm never dishonest with the player. I'll tell him when he's good and when he's bad. And I think that's important. I grew up in that environment. And I think today there's too much mollycoddling of players. Players, you know, don't worry and blah, blah, blah. I think old school better. You need to tell a player. And I've always said that in public, no, but like Mourinho, I think that's a little bit over the top. But I think within closed doors, the player needs to know where he stands, what he's doing right, what he's doing wrong. And this is the reason why he's not playing. If any player knocks on my door, I'll tell him straight what the situation is. You know? So they know where they stand.
Yes, there seemingly is a situation playing out again once more in the climax of the closing of the PSL season. A situation is playing out again, and certainly it seems like it's round two of the situation last year. Pizzo got the upper hand. You look like you are in the upper hand now. Two South African coaches, relatively young. He won it last year.
Thanks.
And he won the CAF, the CAF as well. And now it's your turn.
I like it relatively young. Yeah, I like it.
Should I use old then?
No, listen, let's be honest. I mean, last year we were second by a country mile. We came second by 14 points. We never had a depth in the squad. Last year, I think it was about 8 or 9 games to go. We lost Tyson, we lost Papi Fati, we lost James Keane and Pagamani in the space of a game or two. And we just lost our whole spine and our team was gone. From, you know, competing, and then I think we got 4 points out of 6 or 7 games at the end. I mean, so we came second by 14 points. But could we have caught them? I doubt it, because they had the quality and they finished well and they were brilliant last year. And you know, they got the best players, no doubt about it. So we came second, which is not a bad thing for us. You know, the year before we came third, then we came second. So you know. And every year we made more points in the next year. So we keep improving. Hopefully we can just keep improving.
You're not going to give Peter the satisfaction of winning this time around, though?
Well, it's got nothing to do with it's got to do with the team. I mean, you know, you need a little bit of bounce on the ball here and there, coming in the end now. You know what I'm saying? You need to take your chances and obviously limit the opposition. You need to be, you know, you can't play with too much fear. If you play with fear, you're going to be dead. I've been here. You know, you've gone. And I mean, sometimes you play with players, they got cement boots on. They can't move. Do you understand? So, and players start doing stupid things, and where you do the right things that got you so far. And that's all it's reiterating. And obviously, playing the right play at the right time. That's the key. That's also key, you know?
All right, in closing this title talk and the PSL talk, I made an observation quickly, and I noticed that there are two South African, like I mentioned to you, two South African coaches last year vying for the title, yourself and Coach Pizzo Mosimane, and then this year there's like, I would say three still, that I still have a chance with you, Coach Eric Tinkler and Coach Pizzo Mosimane. And at some point when there was a search for Bafana Bafana coach, there was this sort of myth about our local talents not being good enough. Does that go far in debunking that in terms of you could use the statement that, look, our coaches were winning, won last year the league, and this year as well, they look like it's going to be a South African coach that's going to win the league. So does that debunk the myth about you guys' inability to take top jobs like the Big Three or Bafana Bafana?
Yeah, that really, really upsets me. It really upsets me because, look, I don't know how everybody else works. Cause, I mean, I don't, you know, not spying on the training ground and or listen to what they say or how they say. But, you know, I always try and keep myself up with the latest, what's going on. I mean, let's always remember, people try and reinvent football. You know, the wheel was invented years ago. Why reinvent the wheel? Don't get clever in this game. This game will bite you. If you try and reinvent the wheel, there's a lot of people, a lot of coaches who try and reinvent it and come up with all this, you know. You've got to be able to see the game, feel the game, see what needs to be done. What you do at training, obviously, is very important, how you prepare your team. And I think if you look across the board, I think, you know, if you look at the South African guys, because that's what the question you asked, I think they're all well, well prepared. They prepare their teams very well. I think if I look at, I've been in South African football for over 35 years. If you look at the teams, how they were back years, a few years ago, they were naive. Now the teams are much more tactically organized. And these guys are South African guys. I mean, I look at a guy like Fadu Davids. I think
he's really good.
You know what I'm saying? Give him a break. He's done better than all the coaches they've had there.
Yes.
His record the last 10, 15 games he's had. So you've got to say to yourself, And I always say this, when you play against a team and you see a coach, how they prepare the team, and the distances are good, the shape is good, you think to yourself, well, okay, they've done work on the training ground. And if I look at the South African, because you talk South African guys, I mean, they're preparing their teams fantastically well. And I don't think we sell ourselves short. You know, when you buy a clothing label, you see made in somewhere. They always think it's better than Made in South Africa, and it really gets my goat. And it really gets my back up to say that we're not good enough. You know, I wish the national team coach all the best, and he's got my full support. Mm. But don't ever say, you know, we're short or we're not good enough, or that really gets my goat.
Mm. Do you think we're gonna be able to get out of this kind of conversation though? I mean, it constantly comes up again. Like Chiefs cannot be coached by South African Pirates,
I think the people that really need to be is the people that employ. You understand where I'm coming from? Mm. You know, so you look at the committee of those people. Who are they? Mm. I mean, you know, and what have they done in football? And what do they do in football? That's where you've got to ask. That's the question you've got to ask. Mm. You know, employing people, and it's like that. Even at club level, you've got to question some of the appointments. Mm. Even club level and all, and you say to yourself, now where do they come out of this from? Mm. Left field. What criteria do they use to employ this coach? Mm. But that'll never change. That's always going to be the same. Mm. But really, you know, as I said, with our national team coach, my full support, and you know, and long as there's good interaction and good dialogue, then it's always good, I think. You know?
Mm. I'd like to get your thoughts on a situation that is really a lose-lose or a no-win situation between Wits and Safa as well. We have two bright sparks and two young talents in Frosler and Mahlambi. And you playing Chiefs, your last game on the league, you're playing Chiefs on the 27th of May. The boys have been called up to the World Cup under 20 that starts on the 20th. For the team and for Safa, what is the best way going forward? Are you releasing the players? Are you not releasing them until after the Chiefs game? What's the current update as it is?
Well, firstly, look, I think you've got to question FIFA. To hold these tournaments at the end of the season. I mean, surely these World Cups are going to be held in June, isn't they? Let's be honest, then there's no problems. Mm. So why it's been held at the end of the season, right at the death period, that's beyond me. Mm. So the second point you've got to look at, we as a club, we're getting penalized for producing young players. Why must we get penalized? So if other certain clubs had players playing in their first team, and they made the under 20 squad, I think there would be a change, wouldn't it? There would be a change. So something would be done. Something would be like fixtures moved, or something would happen. Mm. But obviously that hasn't happened because it doesn't affect them. Mm. But a club like us, it's got players who play in our starting 11. It's a problem. It's a major problem. It's a major problem. You're getting penalised for producing young players. Plus, we've got Mabata there. Mabata's there. I've got the goal. So, we've let one or two go, but, I mean, Kemi let everybody go. Mabata was in my Champions League squad, and I let him go, you know. So, and I could use him now because, you know, we're so short of midfield players, you know.
No, I completely get your perspective, coach.
We're getting
penalised. At the moment, they've been called up, and I get what you're saying, and I need to understand whether or not the boys will be then part of the national team, or is it something that you guys are still discussing?
Well, my management and my owners of my football club, I mean, they're going to make the final call, you know, and we'll take it from there. That's pretty much the bottom line. So, but I mean, you know, really, I mean, honestly, it's not right. I mean, to hold the tournament this time of the year, I mean, 2 weeks later, well, what's the problem? Then everybody's finished all around the world. Well, the whole European and the world is finished, you know? So let's see what happens.
Mm. Are you concerned, though, that the public may get the wrong perception? Because, I mean, Mahlambi...
Well, they do, because... But if the majority of the public or the majority of the supporters support 2-3 clubs.
Mm.
And if they had players, let's see what the question... But obviously... Where they complain, because in our situation, because, you know, we're top of the league, so they'll say, no, they must, you know, unpatriotic or whatever the situation is. I mean, yeah, let's call a spade a spade.
Mm.
You know, me, I like to talk the truth. And in football, people don't like the truth. You know, if it was certain clubs, their players would be, I mean, let's see what would happen. And they were stopping.
Yeah, I wish we can get to an amicable point where somehow it's arranged.
That's sad, because... To be fair, you know, it's very sad because really it's a World Cup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean,
and they have an opportunity to showcase their talent in front of
everyone
in the world. But we'll see, sad. Like you said, that the management is talking about it. We'll see whether or not...
The management, I've left it there and I've said to them, look, we must be with the situation. You know what I'm saying? But knowing the consequences, you know what I'm saying? You know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just going back to the Bafana question, Peter Musemane, amongst a lot of other people, was very sad and pronounced that, you know, he felt that you deserve your chance now. I mean, you've won the league 3 times, you've won the MTN 8, you've won the Absa Cup with unfavored teams. You've done a lot of things in South African football, and Peter, amongst a lot of people, were like, this is your chance. You were overlooked and you deserved your chance. Obviously, that's water under the bridge now, but let me just get your thoughts about the situation. Like, what did you feel at the moment?
Well, I mean, I read the article and I was like, okay, well, thanks. But, you know, I always say those type of things. I've never been lobbying for those situations. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm. I don't say, you know, I don't get out to make statements. Those things happen, they happen, and I move on from there. All I know is I've been involved in this league longer than, well, it's only Gordon, but longer than any other coach in this league. I've been, you know, I know what it's about. I know what South Africa is about. Mm. You know, I do all my European trains. I go overseas. I do my badges. I've done my licenses. You know, I've done the whole shooting thing. And obviously, you know, that's it. So, as I said, right from the start, I got great support for Stuart and great support when Carlos was here and Santana and all these guys. Philip Truzier, I helped him with players. Philip Truzier, I helped him with, when he was here. Carlos Cueros, you know, I mean, I helped them all. I asked my advice. I told them what I played, what I think, what I don't think. So, you know, I've never been, I've got no, yeah. What Pitzer said, thank you. I mean, straight. You know, if you said it with, you know, with good intentions, then he means it, and you know, commend him for that. Mm. No problems.
I mean, from my personal observation, I can say that with absolute degree of certainty that it's inevitable that you will get your chance as a South African coach, because for the most part, the formula is achieve at local level, then at some point you will get your chance. Gordon Eggerson might have gotten his chance like 10 years after it was supposed to be given to him.
Yeah, exactly.
He might have got
He was too late, actually.
That brings me to my second question, to my question then to you, that would you be dragging your feet if you eventually get your chance, or would you take it with a positive spirit?
As a player, any player's ambition is to play in a World Cup. I think that's your ultimate. You know, even if you only play 3 games in the art. Mm. Any coach's ambition, my ambition, always been, is to coach a team in a World Cup. I mean, that's got to be the ultimate. Even if we get smashed 3-0 and I'm coaching Iran or Saudi Arabia or something like that. Mm. But honestly, I think my chances of coaching a foreign team in the World Cup is bigger than coaching our national team. So maybe I'll be a Brian Clough, you know.
I don't believe that, coach. You're going to get your chance, though.
I say this with my hand on my heart, and I'm an honest guy when it comes to football. I don't hold my breath. I work hard. I do my thing. I keep myself updated with whatever needs to be done. Mm. You know, and I'm not looking to move. And I'm very happy what I'm doing. And obviously, I would like to get to a level where the intensity gets a little bit higher in terms of, you know, competition and stuff like that. Mm. And I am looking at opportunities like that. Certainly, there's no doubt about it. And my club knows it. And if opportunity comes at a league that's, you know, in a much more, I wouldn't say competitive environment, mm. opportunity must come, you know. But I'm one of the biggest supporters of, and I'm really upset about our national team because of where it is, because I think it should be much better, mm. you know, for various reasons, you know, mm. much better. So, yeah, me, maybe one day we'll see somewhere else.
You will definitely get an opportunity at the national team.
No, as I said the ultimate is, to go to a World Cup. I mean, that's got to be ultimate as a coach or a manager, to go there and, you know. And I also felt like in 2010, I thought that was a great opportunity for I know they wanted to showcase a name. Mm. You know, they wanted to showcase a big name because we were hosting it. But I thought it was the wrong message we sent out. I thought it was totally wrong. I think somebody locally should have had their job and done that job in your own country.
All right. Your generation of players, coach, the former players that you played along with, Pizzo, Tinkler, Larson, Compeller, yourself, you guys are seemingly doing well. You're bossing the PSL at the moment. And I wanted to get an observation from you. When you look at the players that you're currently coaching, Do you think that these guys are going to be able to replicate that? Are we going to get from this generation of players, the social media generation of players, the players that are getting hundreds of thousands, do we think we can get the same output from them in the next 10, 15 years or 20 years when they are coaches?
You just, all those names you mentioned, there's one thing in common with all those names. Mm. There's one thing in common, mentality. Mm. Now, and that you can't buy. I think if those 5, 6 guys you mentioned all got great mentalities, mm. they want to win, they can take a beating, mm. they can, you know, stand up again, and I think that's in that era. Some of the money came a little bit after. I played through the 80s, early 80s. Mm. But in saying that, mentality was good, the players. I look at the mentality now, and I say to myself, where do you find, I do it all the time. I look at my team, and I say, who could be a good coach out of this team? Mm. And you know, you're struggling to get in one hand. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Mm. You know, so you say to yourself, well, I don't think, nah, you'd rather be it. You'd rather sell cosmetics. You understand? This one will rather sell, do this. This one will rather be, you know.
They'd rather be models and apply models. Gel on their hair.
Yeah. This one, no. And that's because, to be fair, those 5, 6 guys you mentioned and me included, we can't go on forever. Mm. So, who's next? Who's next?
Mm, I hear you, coach.
I've got one or two, I think you grab a chance. Are they sustainable? Are they durable? Are they tough? Yeah, they got a little bit of that, but week in, week out. Not one or two games or one or two training sessions or, you know, whatever the situation. And I think it's the generation. It's the generation. You know, we're soft as a nation. We need to get tougher.
Yeah. Right. I know that I've extended my time here. This is the last one. This is the last one. I was trying to find a way around this, but it's clear that Ujabulani Shongwe is not playing at the moment. Do you think that he still has a place in the team? What is the current situation?
All the players in our squad have got a place in the team, but they've got to, you know, there's certain. If I take Jabu 3 years ago when he came to us, you know, he was excellent. He wanted it. You know, and I've spoken to the boy knows, for him to get back in the team, he's got to work harder, he's got to do certain things, there's certain things that he's got to do, I'm not going to get into that, but there's certain things like every player who's not playing, has got to do certain things, with the ball, without the ball, you know, and he's got to be better than that, and I think he knows that, we all know that, but I've got nothing against the boy, he's always up for selection. I question the team is top of the league, the players in his place who are doing the job. He's got to work hard and that's what he's got to do.
So everything about his situation is about the technical, his ability to add value to the team.
It's not because he's not good enough. Of course he's good enough. He's good enough. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. Of course he's good enough. He's a good player. But sometimes in life, how you stand up after you've been knocked down, which counts. You know what I'm saying? You know. And I've got to do what's up. I'm just going to do with the guy, you know. I like the boy. No problem. No problem. That's it.
All right, Coach Gavin Hunt, thank you very much for your time, sir. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Catch us next week on another episode of Sokala Duma Radio.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.